Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenz, Sheila Hyland, episode 18. Is it 18?
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of episodes.
I don't know why I remember that.
I don't know why I ask every week.
Right, we're getting there. We're getting there.
We are. And every week we have to remind ourselves how long we've been here.
In 18.
We had 17, 18. Okay, yeah.
This is a great 18th, though.
It is. We're at Clavon's, this unbelievable classic ice cream parlor in the Strip District. This is your hometown.
This is my hometown. This was my stop on the way. I grew up on 12th Street, but I'd walk up here to play Little League in Polish Hill. And this was my my stop on the way to the games, where I'd have a sundae or, you know, some sort of milkshake or malt, and then I go to the game. Then I come after the game.
Oh, you go before and after.
Oh, absolutely.
And I got to say, as a native, and really not far from here, across the river, born in Millville, I've known about the place, but I've never been inside. It is actually unbelievable. They got a apothecary museum of some sort. I could see the Vicks VapoRub from like 1910 over there.
Well, the interesting thing about that, with the drugstore aspect of this place at those days, but Dr. Clavon was my doctor as a child from as far as I remember, until I was like 12 or 13 years old, and his office was in Bloomfield. Dr. Clavon, who is their, I guess, the originator's grandfather, probably, or whatever.
Yeah.
But he was a wonderful doctor and a great guy and a really nice guy, and so it's kind of cool.
I think his wife was behind the counter getting the ice cream.
She was the one making those malts for me.
Yeah, yes.
Well, you're going to meet the owner is Jacob Hanchar. He'll join us in a few minutes. But joining us now here at Clavon's, which sounds very anti-Yinzer. Most Yinzers might say Don Clavin's or Clavan's. Rick Seebach, the greatest documentarian ever of all time, WQED. We are all big fans. Rick Seebach, because it was actually you where I first heard of this ice cream parlor, Clavon's.
Well, now, I knew that we were coming to do this, so I just, you know, I thought, like, there's all these, you know, it's Pittsburgh and everything connects.
Right.
And in 1996, I did the Strip Show, which was about the Strip District. And at that point, and I realized I'd known Jimmy for 6 years, because I think I met you and Scott Paulson when we did the bridges, Flying Off the Bridge to Nowhere. We
did a
whole morning at the over at Station Square, and we had you guys set up a father and son who jumped off the Smithfield Street Bridge into the river.
Yes.
It was a cold morning, too. We were all in coats and everything. And
it was great.
So I'd known Jimmy for a while, and they used to have me on the show. And then when we started to do this, I knew Jim was from the Strip, so I asked him if we could come down. And actually, we walk into Woolies, and he talks about, you know, giving the fish a haircut and do all these things. And he showed us where his house was and on Penn Avenue Rear.
Yes. Yeah. And, great memory.
So if you look at the show now, it progresses from there, saying, and this is, so it's 25 or 26 years ago, 1996.
Wow.
At that point, no one lived in the Strip. Now people are moving to the Strip and living here. But
big
at that
time.
Point, very few people lived in the Strip, although it had been earlier a very popular place to live. Mm-hmm. And we had several people who had grown up in the Strip, but then it pointed to Clavon's. But here's mm-hmm. what really happened was that day that we interviewed Jimmy and a Post-Gazette reporter, Mike Fuoco, was with us that day because he wanted to follow us for a day. And we started at DeLuca's, and then we went on and we got Jimmy, and we did a whole thing at Sam Box.
Yes, we did.
You talked about Sam Box.
So funny.
That's not a man's name. It means grocery store.
we have a funny story behind that, but yeah.
Yeah. But the next, I think it was Monday, it was a holiday. I'm not sure. It was in October of 96. Jimmy and I were on the front page of the Post-Gazette.
Yes, it was amazing.
And
so cool.
It was about doing the Strip show. And so it was just really nice, and the whole experience was really wonderful. But because of that article that appeared on the front page, Ray Clavon called me. And he said, I saw that you're doing this video on the Strip District, and I know that you're going to want to see my father's pharmacy. And I said, you know what? We're done shooting. Mm-hmm. I think the day with Jimmy was our last day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, I'm telling you, you're going to want to see this. He said, it's been closed for a while. And I said, okay, well, I'll come down. I don't have a crew today. I'll come down and take a look. And I remember him opening the door here. This place was just full of lumber, and it was, you know, a storage space. But you could see all this stuff all around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you're right, it's too good a story. So I arranged to get an extra day of shooting just to come to Clavon's. And it was really wonderful. And we had a little technical problem. So when you see it, Ray is actually in black and white. We call it the little Wizard of Oz effect. And when he opens the door, then it goes to color when you come in here. In the, I'm going to say, 5 to 7 days between when I first stopped and when I came back, he had the lumber removed. So he can just walk around. It was just an abandoned pharmacy at that point. But he talks about how beautiful the 18-foot-long counter is, with this rare marble that has blood-red stains in it, and the stools that are designed after Coca-Cola bottle caps. And he talks about the telephone booths. And there were all these other things that he, you know, obviously loved and he had grown up with. And he talked, you know, about gathering pennies out of the scale. And, you know, it was just a really wonderful thing. And then I'm going to say 2 or 3 years later, he announced that he was going to stop being a teacher and he was going to open this place as an ice cream parlor. So it was just really a remarkable thing. And then I think after, I actually went to his funeral, I remember, up in, I'm going to say it must be Friendship. He has like 8 brothers and sisters, Ray did. And but after he passed away, they decided to sell the place and Jacob bought it. And he, I think, raised it up like several steps, because Ray always got ice cream, I want to say, from a place on the north side, like Rhinelanders.
Reinhold's.
Okay. Reinhold's ice cream. Okay. And then, but then he started to bring some in from the creamery at Penn State. And then he took the course, and now they make all their own ice cream here. So this is like a superb, amazing ice cream store.
Full disclosure, we're enjoying some right now. I want to thank Maya for making up a couple of chocolate milkshakes.
They make their own whipped cream, too. And, you know, just to mention, Rick, how off the subject of how powerful of a filmmaker he is and how he touches people's hearts and become, I know you're a good friend and all that, but a treasure to Pittsburgh in many senses, but... my grandmother, who was in her late 80s and lived in the Strip District her whole life, and she was very, very sick in Millville when it came out, the Strip show. And she was really sick, and it was the first time, and I saw her just smiling for the entire show, watching Rick's show. And that's amazing.
Cause, and that's, you know, where and I just, first
that's what it's all about, right?
Place.
You know, it's like she's just smiling the whole time. You touched her heart with her, where she, you know, lived her whole life.
And
we're just lucky that way.
If you wanted to know about Pittsburgh and you weren't from here, all you have to do is watch Rick's documentaries, and you will know everything you need to know about Pittsburgh, and you will love Pittsburgh even more.
Sheila,
even
you're right.
From here.
A lot of people do that in companies when they have people transfer. They give, here's Rick Seebeck's library. You'll pretty much get it.
As Robert De Niro would say, I you got a gift.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're lucky to have
you.
Really,
have
we. And that's how I first heard of it, was the strip show.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when I first heard it was the strip show, I thought it was something else. But it turned out to be
that's,
the
strip show. That's part B. That's a different story, Larry.
Different story. But that's so funny because some people from outside the city hear you're going to the strip district.
Yeah,
at first, right?
They think it's like some sort of Amsterdam red light thing.
Yeah.
No, it's just, you know.
But that's not
the case.
Strip
of area where
why is it called the strip district?
Because it's a strip, I'm guessing, where all the produce would come from out of town, and it would be, you know the answer. I'm just guessing. It's the strip where all the produce came.
Okay.
That's not it, is it?
That's even, like, I don't think the strip becomes the produce center till about 1900, when it's moved from the Point to the Strip District. I think it's more elemental than that. It's geographical. It's a flat strip of land, you know, between the hill and the river. It's just a flat strip of land, which Pittsburghers know is rare here.
Right.
But the funniest thing about the strip, just mind when you said the Sam Bach thing, and I grew up here my whole life. And the funny thing about the Sam Bach thing is the wholesale Asian store down the street there. Kenny Oldensky lived in a peanut store across from Woolies. And he's one of the few families here, one of my lifelong friends. And we laughed about it till today. But he thought there was a rumor that Sam Bach was a person that owned that. And Kenny would have stories he'd hear on the streets about Sam Bach, like running the city, like from the underground kind of thing. And he'd tell me, Kenny would tell me, hey, Sam Bach had a meeting I heard above the Sam Bach's. There's all kind of cars I saw out there and stuff. And we would, there's like great rumors. So Rick asked me on camera, you know Sam Bach? I go, oh, do I know who Sam Bach is? And Kenny, because it means supermarket. It's not a person. I remember calling Kenny was still stunned. What? Yeah, it means supermarket. Yep.
So how old is this place originally as a pharmacy? Dates back to what, the turn of the last century?
No, early 1920s. Yeah.
And Rick, just do me a favor, because you're so descriptive, you're so good at describing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a podcast for those who are just listening and not watching. Describe what you see when you walk in, because this is like taking a step back in time. It's mm-hmm. phenomenal.
It is. I mean, it's what I like to say. There are places that you can go that are like little time machines, and this
right.
is one of them. So much is untouched. The booths, and it's wooden. And I think it's dark wood, and that gives you a really warm, wonderful feeling. And then this marble counter and some of the old cases and everything. It's really amazing.
It was like a time where people took time to do things. Like, it took time to make this, took time as a kid. Everything's so fast now. Everything had a little ritual to it. Even I remember, like, the cola, even the soft drinks were made. They would put the syrup in this club soda, and they made them from the fountain. Like, everything was just different. It was cool. It was really cool.
And what I like is, and we're going to talk to the owner, Jacob, in just a minute, is the fact that he obviously felt a passion. This isn't just, I wouldn't imagine, a way for him to make money. He had to be passionate about it to maintain and then, as you said, even upgrade and uplift Club Ons.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's an even better place now. You know, all respect to Ray, but mm-hmm. this guy's making his own ice cream, and that, I think, is always a real, indication of a spectacular ice cream place. So, I mean,
28th and Penn in the Strip District. If you haven't been, it's also a big month, National Ice Cream for Breakfast Day, which is the first Saturday of February. So if you missed that, it's okay to have ice cream for breakfast anytime.
It's right? what we're doing right now.
It's a great idea.
We're taping this in the morning.
Yeah, we should do this all the time.
This is so good.
Ice cream for breakfast is a wonderful idea.
About ice cream that transports you. It really does. Mm-hmm. I remember Isley's. When I'd go, my grandfather would give us the money to go get a skyscraper cone.
Yeah.
That was such a big deal. What is it about ice cream, Rick?
Oh, I mean, it's you know, it's sweet, it's smooth, it's, you know, it's your childhood. It's a thousand things. I mean, I did a show for PBS even before we did the strip show, called An Ice Cream Show.
Yep.
And, you know, I said it just may be the most perfect food on earth.
I agree.
You know, it It transcends categories.
If you had to choose one thing, a malt, a sundae, a banana split, a cone, what would Rick Seebeck choose if it was one flavor in style of ice cream? What would you, if you had to do one, said Rick, this is the one you have to choose.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I know, but I want to know. What would Rick Seebeck choose? What flavor?
I hate superlative questions.
Oh, I love that kind of stuff.
I hate superlative questions.
I like putting I just like putting you on the spot as I know you.
Okay,
but I know the answer to that. It's vanilla malt.
Vanilla malt.
Vanilla malt, yeah, I know. If even with a lot of choices, I tend that way. I know from doing the ice cream show that among ice cream aficionados, when they go to a new place, the thing you want to taste is the vanilla.
It's like the standard, right?
Right, because that's what you judge the place on, is how good is their
vanilla. That sets the bar.
That sets the bar.
And actually, in that show, we start at Bassett's in Philadelphia, Bassett's Ice Cream Parlor.
Right.
Which was the first place that put the specks of vanilla bean in the vanilla.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, we all think of it as another place, right? Also from Philadelphia. So you can know they may have gotten the idea somewhere else.
Well, we're going to talk to the owner, Larry Richard Unfiltered, with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, special guest Rick Seebeck, the great documentarian, storyteller. And we're at Clavon's, 28th and Penn in the Strip District. Go to Odyssey. That's a free app, AUDACY. Or you can log on to KDKRadio.com for access to all of our podcasts. Larry Richard with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 18. Excited to be at Clavon's, 28th and Penn in the Strip District, with the legendary documentarian Rick Seebeck. And through the magic of technology, we have the owner, Jacob Hanchar, with us. Jacob, first, thank you for your hospitality. Even though you're not physically with us here, this is one of the coolest places I can imagine anybody going in our city, so thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming by, and I am there in spirit.
Well, Rick told us some of the history behind this, and what year was it that you decided that you wanted to jump in to an ice cream parlor business?
So the previous owner, Ray Clavon Jr., he passed away in January 2013, and then the family decided to sell it in May of that year. And we really wanted to make certain that we preserve the history. So my wife and I had gone there many times with our children and thought, you know what, we want to preserve this institution and keep it as an ice cream shop. And the rest is history, as they say.
You know, the thing is, though, Rick mentioned also, you kind of up the game. I mean, it's a great ice cream shop, as you know, and I grew up here in the Strip, but you kind of up the game in a sense as far as bringing your own ice cream flavor, I believe, it, which we're having right now. And by the way, it's spectacular, whatever this is, however you made it. It's amazing. It's kind of cool.
Well, Maya definitely deserves credit for that. So Maya and I, yes, we were carrying Penn State ice cream. I'm a Penn State alum. And then we thought, you know what, let's start making our own ice cream. So we took the Penn State course in 2015, and we've been making our own ice cream ever since. So hats off to Maya. She's the keeper of the recipes. I just come around and pester people every so often with my crazy flavor ideas.
You're right, Maya makes.
She's the lead chef.
She's like
sure.
She's right. She's like an artist that came out like little works of art.
And she brought us out. Yes. Larry and Rick have a couple of shakes, and Jimmy and I have sundaes. I don't even know what was in mine. Obviously, there was some chocolate and whipped cream, but honest to God, this is one of the best sundaes I've ever had, and I'm an ice cream aficionado. I mean, I ate it almost every single day for most of my life. I just love ice cream that much, and this is phenomenal.
Consistency.
Yes, we talked about the consistency. Yeah, it's not too soft. It's not too hard. It's just like right in between. Perfect.
Yes.
So kudos to you for making this ice cream.
And keep in mind, this is coming from a woman whose grandfather saw Marilyn Monroe naked. But that's a story for another
time. That's another podcast.
It's actually a fascinating story. He was a dry cleaner, and he had to take her the dress, and she answered the door. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rick. I don't want to.
No. I would just like to say thank you, especially to Jacob, because It was 3 years ago, I fell and I ruptured my quadricep tendon and I was in McGee Hospital for 7 weeks.
Oh my God.
And I used to like to wheel myself in the wheelchair down onto what I called the front porch of McGee. And I was sitting down there one day and Jacob came up with two incredible banana splits to give to
me. Oh man, there you go.
And it was just, it was stupendous. Like, as you know, unexpected banana splits is like one of life's great pleasures.
It makes you, ice cream makes you smile.
It was incredible.
And a kind friend.
And I put one of them in the freezer up on my floor. But, you know.
Well, you actually, how nice. Talented, Jacob, is Rick Seaback? He turned an unfortunate circumstance into another show. And people loved it because it was about what people were bringing him to eat, including LeBron's ice cream.
Exactly.
Rick, he did a great job in series and supporting Clavon. So it's my pleasure to supply him with banana splits during his time of need.
Jacob, tell us more about why you wanted to take over Clavon's and why it was important to you to keep it the way that it has always been for the last 100 years.
So there just aren't very many places left like Clavon's, right? And the place where the banana split was invented, now that we're talking about banana split, was in Latrobe. Latrobe is actually where it was in a pharmacy very similar to Clavon's, but the only thing that remains of it to this date is the blue placard that you see with Pennsylvania history, right? And I just look at that and go, you know, so much of our history has been erased just through development or just this idea of like, you know, the old needs to be dispatched and we need to pursue this almighty margin and make our shareholders happy, and just with very little regard to honoring the people who built this country. And it's just a philosophical thing of mine just in the back of my head. So I wanted to rescue Clavon's for a number of reasons, but the primary reason in preserving the heritage of the United States, that people used to live above where they worked. They would have their apartment and they'd walk down and they would tend the shop. And tending a shop, like my great-grandfather emigrated from Ukraine, got on his belly, a person held onto his shoe while he scraped the outcroppings of coal, right? So you talk about a dirty, dangerous job. And being a shopkeeper would have been his dream, right? The idea that I would own a shop, that his great-grandson would own a shop, would blow his mind. And it's that concept that we need to appreciate things that have been built and keep them for future generations to admire. And there's so few gems like that left in the United States in general. I was more than happy to add this to the collection of, like, yeah, I mean, people have high-end cars, people have really expensive hobbies, you know, maybe they go to the Bermuda or something like that. Well, this I'm more than happy to set aside the hard-earned cash we saved and collected over the years, my wife and I are savings, to keep this so that the public can enjoy it, but we also can enjoy it and preserve it as well.
I'm curious, Saul Markowitz, who I've known for many, many years, you too, Jim, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great marketing genius. His son, Brandon Max, who's this TikTok sensation. So you're hitting a whole new generation. I understand Brandon Max has his own special dish.
And that's it?
That's it.
They just set it in front of us.
That looks beautiful.
That's amazing.
You're not seeing it, Jacob, but we are. Oh, my God.
A little work of art there.
Rick, I don't know.
Oh, I've seen it.
Tell us what's in it.
It would take four of us to eat it right now.
I'm taking a cholesterol just looking at it. Cholesterol pill.
That's
Love it.
Amazing.
It's beautiful.
It's best not to think about it. Just don't think about it. It doesn't happen.
It's
if
a
you don't think
sugar
about
high.
It, mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter.
You're right. It is. Yeah, it looks amazing.
I think a lot of people, no matter how disciplined they are, when it comes to ice cream, and we were just talking about, what is it, ice cream, that immediately transports you back to your childhood? It's that one of the best feel-good dishes you could ever imagine. I'm sure you feel that way.
Yeah, there's a sense of being full or richness. there's this concept that's an ancient tradition, right? Whenever people would drink and party, there's the feeling, in many languages and in Latin, it's essentially full, like satiated, like it actually means like satisfied or happy, that you've been filled with joy. And that's sort of what I think of when I think of ice cream. You've been full, and you know, of course, with the calories contribute to that sense of well-being, of course. Right.
Something else, Jacob, too, that brings a smile to people's face is what you did at Clavon's before anybody else did, and that has to do with the minimum wage that you were offering employees initially, and then you decided to change things up and raise the stakes. Tell us about that and why and how you were one of the first to do that.
Yeah, so we usually start hiring right about this time. We start looking to expand our staff and getting ready for the summer, because the majority of money, I think like 70% of our revenue, is generated between Memorial Day and Labor Day. I mean, that is practically, that's it. You got to capture those days. And I would say about 90% of our revenue happens between St. Patrick's Day and Halloween. So that all goes to say, like, look, you need to have as many people on hand as possible. And we found that there was no one. We just couldn't find anybody. And I always thought, you know, the minimum wage we were offering plus tips, because people are getting tipped very generously. You know, when they come to our shop, when people come to our shop in general, they're in a good mood and they really want to, you know, they really want to have a good time. So they tip generously and things like that, but even so, we weren't being very clear in our messaging. We weren't being very clear with our values and the standards we have. So I just said, to heck with it. We got zero applications. I mean, zero. And then, of course, as soon as we started applying, or we put on our application, like, look, $15 an hour, then we had literally hundreds of applications flood in. I think the toll was about 1,500 applications came in, or even more than that. And it was just a simple common sense idea that, you know, if you increase your wage, you're going to find more people, and you'll find better qualified people, and your company will thrive and do better, and people are willing to visit an establishment that is paying their people well and treating their people well, which we always were before, but this just kind of took it up another notch. So, yeah, and so something of common sense, but I guess anymore, right? Common sense isn't so common, and it just turned into an international, or at least, yeah, international, because it was on the Daily News over in the UK, so I can say international sensation. So, you know, it took off, and we now were the first movers or first adopters, whatever jargon you want to use, with the minimum wage and taking things to the next level. And again, appreciating things and appreciating people, and again, preserving things, not just for making money at all costs or squeezing margins or trying to get every ounce of blood that you can out of a company, but really paying homage to things that do matter, like someone's way of life and the American tradition of having a living wage and things like that, and what this shop represents.
It's pretty incredible, and again, we're very grateful. I'm sure people have come and told you stories, like Jim's a native, long before you owned it, about, oh yeah, we used to come here. Anything come to mind?
It was, like I said, off the air, I think I mentioned, I come here as a for Little League games, and I may have mentioned on here earlier, but I get my Sunday, and I made the All-Star team because of that, and it was like juicing in those days.
I was
tested for ice cream. It was tested positive, but they let me in. They let my record stand. Left fielder for, you know, Polish Hill Tigers.
And, I think you're in the Polish Hill Tigers Hall of Fame.
I was in the Ring of Honor. Yeah. Polish Hill, yeah. West Penn Field. If you go to West Penn Field, you'll see the Ring of Honor. I'm in there. Me and Ray Halbig and, you know, Kenny Oldensky roll in there. It was big. I hit a couple home runs because of my Sunday. It's a little bit of sugar rush.
You should really have your photo here up on the wall. As a result,
that would be an honor. That would be with ice cream.
Yes.
Anything come to your mind, Jacob, that somebody has told you that you thought was pretty incredible?
So it's an experience I have that I remember distinctly is going with my grandfather to the local dairy. And this is whenever you didn't have to worry about pasteurization or anything like that. We went straight to the farm and got the milk right from the source. So the heavy cream was on top just from the cows that were milked that morning. And that's it has always been an incredible experience. And I remember that. And so whenever we're making the ice cream, it's very reminiscent of that experience.
I got to ask, what's your favorite flavor or your favorite concoction, Jacob?
Okay, so there's a concoction I'll make at home with our own flavors, and it's kind of bizarre. And then there's what we make at the shop that I like. So what I like at the shop is our chocolate chip cookie dough. Like, I think we do a better job at that than anyone else. And that's my personal favorite flavor. What I make at home is I'll take our vanilla ice cream and I'll take Nestle Toll House chocolate chips. I'll melt it with some peanut butter, some Jif peanut butter, and in the microwave. And then I'll put the vanilla ice cream on top of that and then kind of mix it together. And it ends up being like this bizarre Buckeye, like an ice cream Buckeye. And that is like one of my favorite things one of my favorite comfort foods dessert-wise. My kids love it too, so I end up having to make it for the whole family.
That's
a little concoction I do, at home.
You're like a mad scientist, but that's kind of cool, man. That's how I write jokes in the middle of the night. It'll hit you. Are you like that, where something will hit you, an idea, an angle of how to make something new, a new flavor, a new ice cream?
Yeah, like, well, just like smashing up. Another thing I like to do is take, let's say, birthday cake and smash it up. And then add that to our flavors as well. But that's something you see kids do. Like, I get a lot of inspiration when I, like you were mentioning, the child in all of us, I get inspiration from just watching my kids, and they come up with something. They're taking the chocolate and dipping it in something. I'm like, you know what? We need to do that. And, of course, it's popular because it brings something out in all of us, as you mentioned.
Jacob Hanchar, the owner of Clavon's 28th and Penn in the Strip District. Again, thank you for letting us play today, and more importantly, letting us sample. Maya's done a great job, so continued success. We appreciate you.
Thank you. All right. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Jake.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, and our very special guest, Mr. Rick Seaback. We have a little surprise for Rick in just a moment, and we're going to meet Maya.
The artist.
Yeah. Next. Larry Richard with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, Unfiltered, and we're at Clavon's 28th and Penn in the Strip District. Our very special guest is Rick Seaback, the great documentarian, who is how I first discovered this place when he did a show in 1996 about the Strip District. And for being a native, I'm ashamed to say I was never inside the place before. And Jimmy, you're from here in the Strip, and you knew about this place as a kid?
Absolutely. It's a place that legendary for us, mm-hmm. Loved it.
We talked to the owner, Jacob Hanchar, and now Maya. And Jacob says you're a critical team component of Clavon. So thank you for making us an array of goodies here this morning.
You're very welcome.
And I'm just curious, you know Rick Seaback's work, don't you?
Yes,
you
I do.
You know that voice.
Yes.
You know his stories. Now, Jimmy Krenn and I and our producer, Dick Roberts, and the great political cartoonist, Rob Rogers, created Yinzer cards. And I'm proud to say we're nearing 60,000 cards sold. And you want to know the number one? Who's on the cover of this?
Oh, Rick Seaback.
Rick Seaback is on our Yinzer cards.
That's cool.
Another year gone by. Yinzer, part of Pittsburgh history. Soon you might be featured on a public TV mystery. Happy birthday. Jimmy, in your best Yinzer voice, read the rest there.
Body parts don't work anymore.
This is a great card, that's by cute. The way. So... we're among very high celebrity status. Would you be embarrassed, though, if I said you've never looked better?
No,
seriously, Rick, I've known you for a long time. Jimmy, you've known him for 25 years, maybe more.
Yeah, going a long time.
But Rick,
great friend,
lost weight, and Can I say how much?
Sure, I don't know.
120 pounds.
Wow.
That's so awesome. Let's hear it for Rick Seebeck.
That's phenomenal. Yeah,
Rick. It is.
It's inspiring.
No, that's awesome.
It inspires people. Well, you push back a lot of the type 2 diabetes, all the things you push back with it, so it's for health and you look great.
Well, but I say, you know, like we had to write down everything. We had to write down calories and fat grams and all of that. But I said, I always wanted a third column for joy of life.
Yes, like ice cream.
Because, yes, exactly. Because sometimes... you can't. In fact, the last time I was here was with a reporter girl, and you made us incredible sundaes.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'm on this big diet, but I don't care. You have to eat this.
You got to let it go.
No, but kudos to you. That's an inspiration, Rick, for anyone that wants to learn more about how you did it. Where would you send them?
Well, I've done it through UPMC's Sustain DPP program, they call it, the Diabetes Prevention Program.
That's cool. I would recommend maybe they not head to Clavon's, except other than occasionally.
For happiness.
Yeah, this is your happy place. And,
the happy place.
Maya, you find that that's true. People come here, as Jacob told us, they're generally very pleased to be here. You make people happy.
Yeah, they come here to splurge.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's a joy of life.
We have very, very little diet stuff here.
I noticed when you brought these out, it's like little works of art. I took like photos of these. Is that what you're thinking back there when you're making it? To make it like a little work of art?
Yes.
The visual side of it, is that
everybody
going through your mind?
Works back there, when they're creating whatever it is, a sundae, a milkshake, they want to put a little extra sprinkle of wonderful on it.
Right. Love. To get the look.
I love it. A sprinkle of wonderful.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved in Clavon's and making ice cream?
I applied to Clavon's Ice Cream Parlor in 2013 and got hired on. The very first year we were bringing Penn State ice cream straight down from Penn State. Mm-hmm. And Jacob introduced the fact that we would start making the ice cream, which was very exciting to me. Mm-hmm. To learn a skill like that. I went up to Penn State. It was wonderful. I loved it. I learned a lot in the class. It was a week-long class, and they crammed in a lot of information that I still know till this very day.
Huh. No.
You know who else took the Penn State course?
You?
You?
No.
No?
Ben and Jerry.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I didn't know that.
What?
You know that? Yes.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because Penn State has this great reputation, among so many other things, but obviously in the part of our state, in the agricultural part of what they do, naturally dairy. So let's take us through the process. How long does it take to make ice cream from scratch?
I do it every Tuesday in the summertime twice a week. So it does take a long day. You have to do it all in one day. It takes about, the first batch is the longest because the machine has to cool down and get very cold. And then, so I would say about maybe 15 minutes a batch or something like that.
Downstairs?
Yeah.
You do everything downstairs?
Everything that's downstairs.
Cool. Well, I have to know, what's the number one bestseller?
I would say our vanilla and our cookie dough and our cookies and cream, those three.
And the interesting thing, you guys make your own whipped cream flavored also.
Yes,
and
we do.
Because I remember in one time, and they had like kiwi flavors. You have all these wild flavors.
Yeah.
Like, what's the wildest flavor you ever come? This is gonna be crazy.
The one that always stood out to me was our cookies and cream.
Whipped cream.
And then we also make a whipped cream with espresso. We do espresso whipped cream.
That's an interesting. Yeah.
Are you a Pittsburgh native?
Yes, I am.
So, when did you discover Clavon's? Before you saw an ad to work here in 2013?
I remember when Clavon's was still boarded up.
Okay.
Like me, I went to Schiller Classical Academy here in the Strip District when it was here.
Yeah.
And I used to walk past this place because I lived right up on the Hill District.
Okay.
So that was my first memory of Clavon's when it was still boarded up. It was reopened in 1999. So
I was going to say, it was closed for about 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, just nothing. There were things untouched.
Yeah.
They had just like walked out and locked the door.
And so. I know there had been talk in the past about franchising Clavon's, but the talk had always been that they could never duplicate this because it is the way it was 100 years ago.
Correct.
But now that's changed. You're actually going to Cleveland now,
yeah,
right? You'll
gonna,
be opening in Cleveland.
We're going to duplicate this, and it's going to be another Clavon's in Cleveland.
Cool.
Wow. When's that happening?
It's already in the works now, so they're getting everything together now.
Okay.
They're starting the process, and we're starting our meetings discussing the whole process.
Outside of Jim Crenn, Rick Seaback, Sheila Hyland, who are the most famous people that have ever come here to get ice cream? Anybody stick out in your mind?
Yes. The day Juju came in the door.
Okay.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yes.
He's like a big kid. He's just loving life.
Yeah.
Was he signing autographs while he was here?
No.
Or getting asked anyway?
It was a lot of people in here, so he was trying to keep a low profile.
Okay.
And my daughter actually works here, so when she looked up at him, she took his order and made everything and rang him up. And when she looked at him, she said, "Aren't you a Steeler?" And he said, "Yes." Yeah. So he did sign us an autograph. He was really, really cool.
That is cool.
I actually remember Ray Clavon had a book near the front door that he got people to sign. And I remember him telling me how excited he was. Saul Bellow, the Nobel Prize winning author, stopped through. His family was driving like from New York to Chicago or something. And they stopped here at Clavon's, and Saul Bellow had signed the book. I remember at his funeral asking, "Does anybody know where the book is?" And they didn't.
Didn't know?
Wow.
That's funny.
So maybe one of those things lost. But,
that's pretty cool. Anybody else come to mind?
Yes. A couple other Steelers stop in here a lot.
That's because Juju told him, "Hey, I found a spot."
Spread the word.
What about, is it Jason Momoa? Because I know he was living here in the Strip District while he was filming a movie.
Aquaman.
In Pittsburgh. Yeah. Did he stop in?
I think he did, but I wasn't here that
I was going to say, because he can't really go incognito.
No, right. He has that long, flowing hair, big dude.
Yes, I know who he is.
Oh!
I was here. I was here.
So you're moving to Cleveland with another location. This is pretty exciting. And if you haven't been, you're invited to Clavon's 28th and Penn in the Strip. And what are your winter hours? And can you book this place for a private party? I'm just asking.
Yes, you can. Our winter hours are we are closed Monday and Tuesdays in the wintertime. And then we're open from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. every single day from then on. And you can book parties. A lot of people book birthday parties. They do bridal showers here. We've actually, in the summertime, had a wonderful engagement where she didn't know. So when she stepped in, it was beautiful. All her family was here. And he got down on his knee. And I started crying because I've never seen something so beautiful. So people really turn this place in to what they want to make it when they book parties. We've seen a Grinch party here. We've seen a Mickey Mouse party here. I mean, they really decorate it, and the nostalgia that it has in here, it really looks really nice when they do it.
I just realized, I mean, we keep saying this, but literally the pharmacy really opened in the early 1920s, so you are almost at the 100-year mark.
Yes, we are.
Wow. I don't think it's in 1923, as I think what I read. Mm-hmm. That would be next year.
You can have a big party.
We
better.
It's gonna
That's
be
awesome.
We may have to come back.
Can we get on that list?
They're going to turn the prices back.
Yeah, I like it.
Hey, I wanted to mention, because you set the Brandon Max Sunday in front of us.
Yeah.
Brandon, of course, big TikToker now. Tell us what's in it. And also, if people order this, a portion of the proceeds, I understand, goes to charity.
Yeah, it does.
So can you tell us a little bit more about the Brandon Max?
Okay, well, it is a warm brownie with three large scoops of chocolate ice cream.
Mm.
It's sprinkled with M&Ms and topped with a lot of Oreos, hot fudge, and chocolate whipped cream. And you got your cherries on there. So when we bring it around to our guests and sit it on the table, they can't believe how big it is. They have to have 3 to 5 spoons to eat it.
Definitely shareable. Yeah.
We can't thank you enough for your hospitality. Such a cool little piece of Pittsburgh. I guess we're going to share some with Cleveland. I guess that's okay. That's our peace offering to Cleveland. is Clavon's. Maya, thank you, and continued success.
Thank you, Maya.
Thank you so much, Maya.
You have one of those rare jobs that make people happy. They're happy to see you every day. We can't thank Rick Seebeck. And what's your next big thing?
Who knows?
You're still working. Did the Nebby series.
You never know.
So many great documentaries.
Hey.
How about something about this 120-pound weight loss?
Oh, no. Too personal.
But phenomenal.
It'll be something fun, though. It'll be something fun.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a lot of things we're talking about. I'm really happy, too. QED's, you know, putting a lot of my older stuff on Passport, which is the PBS streaming service. And so we're going to continue that for many months now because I'll be 35 years at QED this year.
I drive Rick crazy through the years, so 30 years knowing him.
Whenever he has, I'll go,
what are you doing? I go, I don't know yet. And I will leave him like all kind of suggestions. The worst, he amuses me. You know, like, hey, Rick, how about spooky houses around here or something? You're like, no, I'm not going to do it. Like, you know, so you're going to get like a dozen ideas. Sorry, Rick.
Here's Rick Seebeck rolling his eyes.
Try everything.
Rick, continue.
Well, I mean, this made me realize it's 25 years since we did the strip show.
It's hard to believe. You know? I know, right?
As you get ready to turn 100, it's in the numbers, Maya. Yeah. Thanks again. We want to thank our producer, Dick Roberts. Where is he over there? Saul Markowitz, his son Brandon Max, TikTok sensation. He even featured us on one. I think we had two or three views on that one. It was very
exciting.
Made us
TikTok famous.
And Rick Dolnack, famous actor who graces us to hang out. And Jim Patulski, who's our audio engineer and technical producer. Jim, thank you. Let's hear it for Jim, who is the only human being in here that held off from eating any desserts or ice cream. Until after we're done, you watch and see. Until next time, we appreciate it. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY, or go to kdkradio.com. Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, Larry Richard Unfiltered, episode 18 is in the books. That's a wrap.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.